Respecting boundaries is foundational to being a good neighbor. Mexico and the United States have long struggled with how far or how high those boundaries should go. But being a good neighbor can also mean working together to find solutions to shared problems. In today's issue, Latin America Bureau Chief Whitney Ulick reports on an emerging shift in the region's attitudes towards U.S. involvement in tackling narco-trafficking. After decades of Yankee-go-home sentiments behind widespread anti-interventionism, some leaders and citizens now say they're open to a U.S. military presence. The cartel problem is impossible for Mexico to resolve on its own, says Arturo Herrera, a media consultant in Guadalajara. He told Whitney he would like to see the U.S. and Mexico work together. The cartels have their own intelligence, political influence, communication systems, missiles, and weapons. We will need outside help. It's Friday, September 5th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kendra Nordine Beato. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. The District of Columbia sued to stop President Donald Trump's use of National Guard troops in Washington. The lawsuit argued that the deployment is an illegal use of the military for domestic law enforcement. A White House spokesperson said it was an attempt to undermine Mr. Trump's highly successful campaign against crime in the Capitol. 26 countries pled troops as a reassurance force for Ukraine after the fighting with Russia ends, said French President Emmanuel Macron. He and other European leaders met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff on Thursday to discuss long-term military support and continued U.S. backing for Ukraine. Mr. Zelensky said a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin is necessary to end the war. Also, two Ecuadorian gangs will be deemed foreign terrorist organizations, Secretary of State Marco Rubio said during a visit to Ecuador. Los Lobos and Los Tornados are blamed for much of the violence that has occurred there since the pandemic. Mr. Rubio said the designation gives the U.S. government options for working with the government in Quito to crack down on the groups. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Both parties agree in principle that health policy should be driven by facts and science, not by politics. But translating science into policy involves human judgments. And an uproar this week around vaccines shows rising tension over public health. Story Hinckley and Caitlin Babcock report from Washington for The Monitor. Yankee Go Home was once a popular Latin American anti-imperialist slogan. Now, trying to control a drug-fueled wave of violence, some in the region are having second thoughts about the United States. Whitney Ulick reports from Mexico City for The Monitor. Red flag laws are designed to stop potential gun violence by people deemed a threat to themselves or others. The Minnesota shooter's intentions weren't known until it was too late, leading some to lament missed clues. Patrick Johnson reports for The Monitor. For decades, Iran's powerful Lebanese ally Hezbollah was a check on the Beirut government's power. Israel severely weakened the Shiite militia, yet as a new Lebanese government seeks to assert its authority, an easy compromise seems unlikely. Scott Peterson reports from London for The Monitor. The film adaptation of the award-winning novel Preparation for the Next Life benefits from being directed by someone who shares the qualities of the book that inspired it: verisimilitude and empathy. Peter Rayner writes for The Monitor. There's a story behind every vintage car. Whether they're gearheads or not, visitors to the vault at the Peterson Automotive Museum will hear plenty to pique their interest. Melanie Stetson Freeman and Francine Kiefer report from Los Angeles for The Monitor. To view this photo essay in full, visit csmonitor.com. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on where water teamwork runs deep. In Central Asia, summers have long brought both abundance and scarcity. As crops grow and then ripen in the dry heat, water becomes increasingly scarce. And with warmer seasons in recent years, river levels have fallen to new lows. That has led something else to sprout up: water diplomacy. Among the region's five nations, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan, historic rivalry over water has turned into intense dialogue aimed at trust and cooperation. "The times require more dynamic action from us," said Kazakh Deputy Prime Minister Kanat Bozymbaev at a recent meeting of the region's Commission for Managing Transboundary Waterways. August saw a flurry of measures and agreements in this crossroads of Eurasia. Uzbekistan unveiled a plan to conserve water by modernizing its antiquated irrigation network. Kazakhstan funded restoration for the receding Caspian Sea, with Turkmenistan joining the push. A few months earlier, Tajikistan, which houses the vast Bari-Tojik Reservoir, agreed to release and share millions of cubic meters of water with Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. Water diplomacy goes beyond simple cooperation, according to Barbara Janisch-Paletta of the International Water Management Institute. At an April conference in Uzbekistan that highlighted trust and dialogue, she emphasized the importance of ensuring all parties' interests are taken into account. "Central Asia's openness to dialogue and joint action are notable, given that these former Soviet republics have had contentious disagreements over borders previously demarcated by Moscow. More than two decades ago, the International Crisis Group dubbed this legacy a Pandora's box that could exacerbate resource competition and ethnic divisions." Contrary to such predictions, the countries have successfully pursued territorial peacemaking, even under authoritarian strongman rule. Earlier this year, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan resolved a decades-long border dispute in the picturesque, populous, and fertile Fergana Valley, where hundreds of people have died in armed clashes over the past three decades. Soon after, the European Union participated in the first-ever EU Central Asia Summit. In addition to shared goals on water and environmental cooperation, the joint declaration also referred to promoting and protecting fundamental freedoms of a civil society, including freedoms of expression, association, and the press. Central Asia's journey through the process of water and land negotiations has required communication, reciprocity, and mutual respect. These features offer a navigational guide to other parts of the world grappling with similar issues, and they could also inform needed economic and democratic transformation within Central Asia. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how we all have an innate, childlike receptivity to goodness that brings strength, unity, and harmony. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.